Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
This is Scott Campbell from the Stupid Things for Love podcast. I have a 7-year-old son, and the biggest mountain I climb every day is trying to put shoes on this child. And I'm so grateful to Skechers for making the only shoes my son will willingly put on by himself. Their slip-ons are amazing, and he doesn't have to deal with laces. He doesn't have to deal with anything. They come in the perfect color blue. Thank you, Skechers, the comfort technology company. And you can find Skechers everywhere. Skechers.com, a Skechers store, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to all things elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on a rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 248th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz. I am the host of this lovely show. Joining with me, as always, is my good buddy, my good partner, my good friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. We are literally recording this no less than like 10 or 15 minutes after the Kansas City Chiefs survived against the Baltimore Ravens by a literal inch of a toe. Mr. Floyd, how are you doing, my good sir?
Yeah, I played football when I was younger, not very good. But the one thing, the overused term in football, it's a game of inches.
And literally,
his toe was 1 inch out. If the ref called him in and they didn't overturn it, I wouldn't even got mad because, you know, it was that close. But shout out to Isaiah Likely's probably size 14 shoe. If it was a size 13, we probably, you know, they get a chance to win. So shout out to his humongous feet. Dude, that was – I know the people I hate as far as fandom is like, I don't really care. I just want to see a good game. And I always want to punch people in the throat. If you don't have a rooting interest in the game, you make me want to fight you. Well – the best days is when you get a good game and your team wins. Now, again, even if the toe was in, we'd still been up by a point. They were going for two. Hey, anything can happen. But they still needed stuff to happen to actually win the game. But shout out to the Ravens. Shout out to the Chiefs. You know, first game of the season, prime time. You know, give people a reason to get excited for the rest of the season. They did. It's 1 of 17. The Chiefs aren't going to the Super Bowl because they won that game. The Ravens aren't not going to the Super Bowl because they lost that game. It's literally one game. It's a long season. So that's how I'm taking it. It's like, hey, 1-0 is better than being 0-1. But shit.
We're being Florida State currently.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Florida State, 0-2. Yeah. Now, it was funny because I was like, people were asking me, like, hey, what do you do well? I was like, we kick well. Our kickers are good. I mean, if you're asking me anything other than that, I don't know. I mean, yes.
Well, look, all that matters is at the end of the day, the only team to have a week one victory over the Kansas City Chiefs or the Detroit Lions, it's the only thing that matters.
If losing week one, the season ends the way it did for us, I want to lose all the week one. I want to lose every week one as long as I'm watching football.
It's okay. We'll just beat, like I said, we're just going to still beat you in the Super Bowl anyway. Regardless,
one thing I can say, in my lifetime, I know the Chiefs can get to the Super Bowl. You know what I don't know? Yeah. So,
hey, man, look, I see a lot of people picking us, dude.
And you know what? And you know me. For you, legitimately, I'm rooting for you. But I'm also like, you know what's, you know, I remember that Tampa Bay Super Bowl when the Chiefs got destroyed by Tampa Bay and how much that hurt me. It hurt me. I couldn't enjoy football. Couldn't enjoy, like, food didn't taste as good. And I don't want that for you. And if y'all play us in a Super Bowl, that's probably what's going to happen. So, it's a double-edged sword. Like, I really want you to know what it's like for your team to get to the Super Bowl. But when you come up against the juggernaut that is the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, just like the rest of everybody else that shows up, you're probably going to lose. And it's okay.
Again, this is why no one feels bad when you lose. You're the new Patriots, and this is just what it is now. So,
hey, dude. It's a great feeling. It's amazing. Yeah,
I bet it is. Yeah. Either way, regardless of the fact, we got a lot to get to. We are just a few days away from All Out taking place at the Now Arena in Schaumburg in Hoffman Estates, in technically just outside of Chicago. Just taking place this weekend. We got a lot to get to. Before we get into everything, though, guys, we want to make sure you guys are downloading this fine show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever you listen to us on. Turn automatic downloads on. Rate, review, subscribe, give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish, and follow us on Twitter. We are at @ATElitePod on Twitter. Follow at Social Suplex, who make the show possible and have a bunch of great shows on their network you should be listening to as well. I am at Austin Sumowicz, SZUMOWICZ. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. Floyd is, of course, back from London. It's a big news of the week. We'd love to have our boy back.
Actually, big news of the week. I just didn't edit it. Merch is coming. Merch is coming.
Yes.
I will be sending out links, and we're going to do, you know, a nice little giveaway as far as not, you know, like not giving away the merch. If you buy the merch, you'll be entered into like a contest. Once I get the link and stuff, I will post all the information on it. But basically, you buy some all things Elite merch. You'll be entered in a contest that's going to run to the end of the year, and we're going to give away something. I don't know what it is yet, but just know shit is coming.
Yeah, and dude, I got a chance to look at it as well, and it looks amazing. A whole new little looking logo, just a slight change in the way things look. It's a nice little redesign that I think looks awesome. And yeah, it's cool. It's cool that we're being able to do this, guys, and we appreciate all the support. So definitely, when the link gets posted, most definitely on the All Things Elite Twitter. Check it out. Give it a look. See, give it a buy, maybe, and you'll be entered in to win some cool stuff.
Yeah, because we're trying to get some people other than our family members to buy some merch. Because I'm pretty sure I'm going to guilt most of my family into at least buying a shirt. But I want some people, you know, wearing the merch. That'd be kind of cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's the big news of the week. I was just really excited about that.
Those
are one of the kind of things, if I didn't work like 80 hours a week, we probably would have had by now, but, you know, like, you know, life happens.
Yeah, it is what it is. But, of course, we got a lot to get into on this episode of All Things Elite, guys. And we're going to go ahead, and obviously we didn't do a show last week because we had the all-in review, but we didn't get to talk about the Dynamite following. We'll touch on bits and pieces when we get to certain parts of the show. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to get into the Dynamite that just finished up in Milwaukee this week, which opened up with Daniel Garcia storming to the ring. He was going to start off the show, and he had a big war of words with MJF last week, which was very entertaining. And I really, really liked the stuff that they did last week. Daniel Garcia comes out, and he's screaming because he wants to beat up Max, and MJF is up, protected by security, up by like a little box in the arena. And he's basically like, I'm not going to attack you, but it's because I have a reason. I don't want any excuses when I paint that canvas with your blood and break your pencil neck. And I don't attack people behind from behind like a coward like you do. And Garcia says everything you say is fake and a lie. And that tan is a lie. The makeup you wear to cover up your acne is a lie. The trip you made to Turkey for that hair transplant that didn't work is a lie. And that was a motherfucking huge burn. And then he proceeds to say the fakest thing about MJF is the fake love he has for AEW, how he doesn't care about this place, and he doesn't love these people the way I do. And MJF said, I'm going to make you bleed buckets. And Garcia then shuts him up and keeps going and keeps going, and then goes all the way down saying, I want you to suffer and the people who love you to suffer as well. If you can't find a woman who pretends to care about you for longer than a year, I want you to marry that girl, get a house, have a kid. But remember, every time you pick up that ugly baby, you're going to feel a tingle down from your neck to your toes, and you'll think about me, and your kid's going to ask you, Daddy, were you a wrestler? And you'll say, have to say, I was, until Daniel Garcia ended my career. Which, he just went there, and then MJF proceeds to go like, everybody, Danny learned how to speak. Crazy. But then he mentioned how these people used to love me. Then I got too big, and like rats, they turned on me. And continues to go on and on and on and say, basically, your friends, your family, your fans, they're going to all turn on you, but I'll make sure they don't hurt you like they hurt me. And I'm going to do that by putting you in a wheelchair. And then he said, there's one person you can trust. That's that mother you always bring up. She'll take care of you while you're laid up in bed. Lord knows you won't be the first person lying in her bed that she's happily attended to. And then Garcia tries to come out and get him. Security blocks Garcia off. He gets up and charges through towards the steps of the box that he's in, but he gets a bottle of wine smashed over his head by MJF. And MJF screams at him, basically saying, every man has to go through hell before they reach paradise. And I want to thank you because you've woken up something in me that has been dormant for far too long. And as a token of my gratitude on Saturday, I'm sending you straight to paradise. And for that, you can thank me later. He kisses him on the forehead and while he's bleeding from the wine bottle, and then he walks away. Pretty damn good opening between these two guys. They did some good stuff. These last 2 weeks of promos, they've done really strong work. And it leads me to be very excited for their match, for sure. It's just hard to talk about this promo segment specifically when we're going to talk about what closed this show, which dramatically overshadowed any other promo segment for the most part on this entire show.
Dude, there is, so as far as this segment on any other Dynamite from most of the 5-year history of Dynamite probably would have been the segment of the night. But this show ended amazingly, so we're going to get to that. But this was nice. It added some hate and some heat to Daniel Garcia and MJF. That is a line I stole from old Joe Lanza from Voices of Wrestling. He focuses on hate and heat quite a bit. And I always say that's what wrestling is. When he said it, I completely agreed. And that's what this was. Daniel Garcia, MJF, old school wrestling feud. You took me out. Now I'm trying to take you out. I love it. He left Daniel Garcia bloody. And when we're going into Saturday, and again, it's like we're supposed to get Red Death Daniel Garcia. So I'm really excited for what that's going to mean. But yeah, this segment was really, really, really done well. And it's kind of cool that we got two hot feuds going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, shit, you might even say three. But yeah, we at least have two
hot feuds. Yeah, there's a few that AEW's got that have been really, really good for sure.
Yes.
We then had the Continental Championship being defended by Kazuchika Okada versus Kyle Fletcher. First of all, shout out to Kyle Fletcher last week and the match he had, first Dynamite match with Ricochet. They did a really good job in that match. And that led to Ospreay and Ricochet having a quick little face-off before Pac reverse Ronda'd him onto the floor, like, which was amazing. Pac, incredible stuff there to get people to really get into that. This match between Okada and Fletcher, though, was I think it was pretty damn good. They did a really good job. And then they actually mentioned whoever won this match would become the Continental Champion, and they would then move to All Out and have to face three other competitors in a four-way for that Continental Championship, which would be determined on Collision this Friday night. So that was announced during the match, and they were knocking each other down. Okada, again, with one of the best drop kicks in all of wrestling. Fletcher is then trying to really get things going. He tries to go for, I think, a Rainmaker of his own at one point. And then with just a minute left in the match, Okada gets the referee and then shoves Kyle into him. And then Okada hits a low blow, hits the Rainmaker, scores the pin. And that's the end of the match as he just barely holds on to win. And Konosuke Takeshita actually comes out and checks on Kyle Fletcher after the match. It was a really strong TV match. Of course, Okada is spectacular. And him facing off against Fletcher, they did some really good work. I think it was a damn good first match of this show. And it was, like I said, excited to see the announcement of the four-way that's going to be happening for that title. That's going to be happening at All Out because that means I get to see Okada wrestle. And I love seeing Okada wrestle.
So I got a few things. First of all, this match was great. This was match was Okada being Okada. This is the Okada everybody thought we were going to get in AEW. We haven't really got a lot of Okada singles matches. So, you know, we got the one with Claudio that ended in a draw, but this was a really good match. So Kyle Fletcher is like, dude, he's had an amazing year. I mean, he's losing a lot, but every match he has is memorable. The Takeshita coming out gives us the Takeshita Okada tease, which is a dream match for a lot of people. I know in a world where dream matches, the term dream match is overused, that's an actual dream match for a lot of Japanese people because they haven't been in the same company at the same time. So that's good. Number three is a bone I have to pick.
Go ahead.
The Continental title. The Continental Championship. It exists in its own world.
I know.
One-on-one, no interference, none of that. It's just a 20-minute match between two guys, and it exists in its own world.
Mm-hmm.
It should not be in the Fatal 4-Way world. This title, you have the TNT title, you have the world title, you have the international title. Any of those titles can be done in a Fatal 4-Way. But you've went out of your way to make the Continental Classic, Continental title a special title. Keep it special. One-on-one, 20 minutes or 60-minute matches.
Right.
No seconds. Keep it like that. Adding the Fatal 4-Way thing to it just seems weird. It just seems like you're trying to get everybody on the show, and that makes no sense. Man, let Okada just win. Those six men that you have fighting for those three spots, have them do a little gauntlet, battle royal, whatever you want to call it on Collision. Whoever wins that takes on Okada one-on-one. The only thing that I can think of is they're doing this to get the belt off Okada without him getting pinned.
I can only imagine that would be the case. And again, that's the thing. You're 100% right in the Continental Championship being in its own world. Me personally, I didn't like the idea of the Continental Championship being created because I think, you know, as much as I think it's a cheap joke that people make, there is genuinely too many championships, I think. And I think winning the Continental crown is like it should be something in similar like the G1 where you get a future world title shot or something like that. The belt looks cool, and I like that Okada has it. But like Floyd said, if you're going to do that and it's going to be its own thing, let it be its own thing. Singles matches, the specific rules that you have set up for it. That's just what it has to be for sure. And like, yeah, I do think that's a good point that you make. 1,000%.
Yeah, I'm not going to get on Twitter.
It's not a scream at the YouTube.
Yeah, it's a wrestling title. But I'm just saying, if anyone happens to listen from AEW and you got TK there, this should be a first and last time to me.
This should
be a first and last time. And if you're doing it to protect Okada, I absolutely understand that. But, you know, people lose. You know, you can lose. And, sure. You know, you can be fine losing. You don't have to protect everybody. So, I don't know. No, Takeshita Okada excites me. As you know, if you listen to the show, I won't be at All Out this week. I will be in Nebraska watching a Nebraska and Colorado, which literally starts at the same time as All Out. Yeah. This week I started feeling FOMO this week.
Yeah, I know.
No, but I've decided with my love that I always say this because I, you know, sometimes I have emotions I don't want to have. I'm going to focus on that. I'm happy as fuck that Austin gets to go to a pay-per-view because this will be
my first pay-per-view this year for AEW.
First pay-per-view of the year.
First AEW show this year, actually.
Yes. And there you go, because you weren't able to go to Las Vegas. And I went in your stead. So you're going and I can't go. So that's how this world works sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to focus on that. I'm happy as fuck that my friend and his sister get to go see the show. I will have my phone in airplane mode during the game.
Absolutely.
I'm like gonna put out tweet like my phone's gonna be on airplane mode because I don't want to get any spoilers, but I also still want to take pictures of the game. So leave me alone. But yeah, so I can watch the show unspoiled. But yeah, I'm gonna focus on the positive vibes.
Absolutely,
that everybody gets to see it. And as of right now, You know the one thing that would have really made me mad. They're not on the show right now, so I'm okay for right now.
For right now. But you know, things could change.
Yeah, because I feel like.
And then meanwhile, I'm mad because somebody is on the show in a specific spot. Yeah. We'll get to it later.
Yes, I feel like the FTR versus GYV will be at it on Collision on Friday, but we'll have to wait and see.
You will have to wait and see.
But no. Back to the main points. Okada versus Takeshita.
Yes.
Like, I have my shows that I'm going to for the rest of the year. I think right now it's the Dynamite 5th anniversary, and it's pretty much full gear. And I'm kind of done, right?
Yep.
But Okada versus Takeshita, random Wednesday in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, or wherever the hell they end up, I would have to make that trip. I would have to.
Right.
Like, I'm a little sick today, and then end up, you know, on TV that night because that I don't know if it's a dream match for me, but it's a highly anticipated match because it wasn't anything I can say. I was sitting there like, I can't wait until Okada fights Takeshita, until he came in the ring and they were kind of standing next to each other. And I've watched a little bit of Takeshita's D1. I have not watched every match, but I've watched a little bit. And I was like, oh, that's going to bang. And I think Takeshita's in a position, and I think to me with Tony Khan, it's almost like a shit or get off the pot situation. Because you've given him wins over Omega, one of your bigger wrestlers in the world. He had maybe the match of the year. I would not argue anyone that it's the match of the year. It's my match of the year with Ospreay from Revolution, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so we've seen these bangers, and he has the presence. He's big,
and he was doing crazy shit in the G1. Let's not be frank.
Yeah, and then we got Don Callis. So you have everything you need to push this man. He seems to be a genuine, and fans genuinely like him. So I feel like it's time.
This is the moment. Yes,
I'm a very patient person. I have never been like, well, you got to do it now. I've never been that way. But Takeshita with his, you know, the build from the G1, everybody's like, he reminded everybody how fucking amazing he is. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I think you might want to give him something. You know what I mean? So, that's like my biggest takeaway from the segment is, Okada, Takeshita, they would kill each other, and it would be fun. So I'm down.
I want that very, very much. I would like that very, very, very much. As a man who has been screaming, I have been screaming for where the fuck is Takeshita. Yeah, I'm Okada, Takeshita makes me very.
Yeah, excited. I think. Yeah, I think they need to put the time into Takeshita that. Basically, what they've done with Swerve, I don't take any Swerve time away, but what they've done with him, where it was this consistent push. You know, he was always involved in something. Yeah. And I think Takeshita needs to always be involved with something. But he always needs to be featured, always in storylines, always doing his thing, because you know once the match starts, it's going to be a banger.
For sure. We then move on to Jamie Hayter taking on Robin Renegade, a quick little match. Jamie made her, of course, Dynamite return last week when she made quick work of Harley Cameron and then quickly made Saraya run away in fear. They were watching on the monitors backstage during this match, so Jamie Hayter gets the quick win. It's just nice to see Jamie, and she's getting great responses. This match was like just all right, you know? It was just a nice quick win for Jamie to continue to look dominant. And yeah, that's kind of really all I got.
Yeah, it was fine. Yeah, this match was fine. Jamie's fine. I don't like that she's not with Britt, but you know what?
Again,
that's a patience thing. I will say this. I'm just be patient. They don't have to force them together right away. But I just love the chemistry of their act that they had when she left, and I'm like, maybe they don't want to do that anymore, which is whatever you want, but the Britt and Jamie thing, I just thought they were magic together.
Yeah, they were. They were absolutely magic together. We then had a backstage segment about last week where Hook against Roderick Strong. Aubrey Edwards said, yes, I didn't see your foot was under the ropes during the Hook match. Hook then proceeded to be like, yeah, you're right, man. It was wrong, but we can settle it tonight in the ring if you want to get it over with. Roderick then responds saying he doesn't want to do the rematch in this dumpy town, but Hook could be the first to find out when Roderick would wrestle him again for the FTW championship. So, yeah, a moment there.
Milwaukee is trash, so.
Okay. Yeah, it's not the greatest, yeah. Then we do need to talk about, this will be something we bring up from last week's show, was Jon Moxley, who made his return last week after being gone for quite some time. Last week he opened the show. He came out and had Tony Schiavone in the ring and basically said, I haven't done a lot of talking lately. I've been doing a lot of thinking, things that need to get done. I came looking for a man who wasn't here to have a conversation. He's nothing like me, but he's everything like me. So this conversation, I'm looking to find Darby Allin. About time we had a talk. Trust me, I'm not hard to find. And then he's about to walk away. Shivani's being like, whoa, Moxley's calling out Darby Allin. And Moxley then proceeds to get right back up to Tony Schiavone last week, and he goes, it's going to take some time for everyone to wrap their brains around this, so I want you to listen close. This is not your company anymore. And then he walks away.
So apparently this line was from an obscure Australian movie.
Yes.
Starring Russell Crowe.
Yep.
Who was it? The guy that works, Alvarez. Brian Alvarez. Put it out there. And pretty much he delivered it the exact same way Russell Crowe did. And it makes me excited, except, you know, the Russell Crowe character was a neo-Nazi, I guess. So, you know. I'd rather Jon Moxley not play that type of character.
Yeah, we'll move away from that.
But I understand it was the vibe. It was the line. Yes. And he did it. He delivered it in such a cool and threatening way. And it's pro wrestling. Because everybody's like, we don't know what's going on. And I just want to be like, dude, have you ever watched a TV show?
Yep.
This is a tease. And it's gonna slowly play out and lay out. So give it a minute.
Absolutely. Because maybe it's got me intrigued, absolutely. And then later in that same night, Marina Shafir joined up with Moxley and they beat up some people backstage.
Yeah.
Okay. And then that's kind of what happened leading into this episode. Moxley and Shafir walking into the arena. They beat up a whole bunch of security. And then as they're walking towards the ramp, as they're going to walk to the ring, they walk past the Elite. And they walk past the Bucks and Jack Perry, who, again, I will talk about when the time is required. But Moxley goes like, I know everyone I know everyone's got their thoughts about you, but you're a sweet kid. And then he walks to the ring. And it's a shame. It's my good sister, Sydney, that's her favorite right there, is Jon Moxley. It's a shame I have to hate her favorite, too. It's a shame. I did everything I could, but once again.
He's a sweet kid. He has never attacked anyone.
Never.
He's been attacked. He's been attacked, but he's never attacked anyone.
No, he's just a petulant child who whines and complains and cries until he ends up getting punched in the mouth and acts all gazed. Oh, I can't believe that happened. Who could have seen that coming?
So, the Marina Shafir. I just wanted to give it a
comment. Yeah, let's get to Marina, like, exactly. Again.
So,
in
the movie Bad Boys, believe me, bear with me, it is getting to a point. Marcus is driving, and he's driving like slow and like a grandma, and then they get in a chase scene later, and he's driving crazy, and he's like, this is how you drive. From now on, this is how you drive, right? And you're like, okay, what does it have to do with anything? Marina Shafir, this is how you present Marina Shafir. Never present her any other way. This is Marina Shafir. This is how you present Marina Shafir. She came off in two appearances. She has come off as more of a badass than she has been in the year she's been with AEW.
It took 2 weeks.
2 weeks to make her look like a badass. Like, oh my God.
I know.
She just doesn't talk and she beats people up.
Crazy stuff.
Yes. This is it. This is her. This is her character. This is who she is. I don't know, care if she has amazing matches. Just her walking around beating people, random guys up for no fucking reason is the Marina Shafir I want for the rest of her career.
There you go.
Yeah.
So. I mean, she's great, dude. She's absolutely great.
It works. Because I even remember the first time I saw her, she has such a badass aura, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she tries to do like pro wrestling stuff, and it's like, that's not who she is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Right.
She's an MMA fighter, legit badass. And for the first time, she came off like a legit badass.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, stick with this aura. Don't have her talking. Don't have her cutting promos. Dude, if she never says a word in wrestling again, I am okay.
For real.
Just kill people. God, I just loved it. I just loved it. Yeah, I just thought it was like, I might have liked it more than anyone else. God, but that
it was good. Yeah, no.
Dude, she just has that vibe to her. It's just like, she came off badass, she came off cool, she came off all the ways, and she never said a word.
Uh-huh.
She's like, yep. Jon Moxley's heavy or his pit bull or whatever. I don't know. I think it's a more like, I like Ivy Nile in the WWE. And I think she has that same kind of vibe. And it was just like, but this vibe was like more street. Like, I almost expected her to pull out a knife and start stabbing somebody. It was just a very, very good. I cannot tell you how much Marina Shafir over the last 2 weeks has worked for me.
Yeah, no, it's been genuinely cool to see her actually working. I'm excited to see, hopefully, her continue to grow. But yeah, no, Floyd's all about the way Marina Shafir is being presented right now, which goes into when they came out to the ring. And Moxley goes, I wonder if Darby Allin is here tonight. And he's like, no, I don't think he is. Some years ago, I wrestled a young kid I never heard of. Nobody had. He had slept in his car, showed no fear, and I beat the piss out of him. And then he smiled. And I knew then that he was special. Darby's his own man. He plays the game the way it was meant to be played, with reckless abandon. Darby knows it's a privilege to be in this sport. It's not something that you're entitled to. How quickly we forget that. I'm not an impatient man, but the clock is ticking, Darby. Let's make this easy. I don't want to apply any pressure, but I will, so don't make me. I just want to talk. So that's kind of where we're at with Moxley. Is he still looking for Darby? Darby nowhere to be found.
Darby and Moxley, I
don't know what this relates to, but Darby and Moxley working together some more, I'm all about it. Whether it's he wants to recruit him, whether it's he wants to fight him, or whatever the case may be. Darby and Moxley doing shit together, though, I am all for 1,000%.
The crazy thing about it is they, you know, you fight or friends. You don't care which one it is. And it's like, if John Moxley ever asked for me, like, hey, I want to have a talk, dude is not finding me. I'm going into witness protection. I don't know what's going on. I've seen him beat up his friends. So he's calling out the one person crazy enough to actually answer him, which is Darby Allin, because he fears nothing. But the last time we saw Darby Allin, he was about to get burned alive. So, hey, if he took a few weeks off, I kind of expected that, so that's okay. Hopefully they get to have their conversation sooner rather than later, because a pissed off Marina Shafir is amazing. A pissed off John Moxley is, you know, he's called the Death Rider. So there you go. You don't want to mess around with him. So yeah, Darby needs to get back to him as quickly as possible.
Genuinely. Yeah, absolutely. And that's got stuff that I would be absolutely excited about to see for Darby and Allin, is for sure. We then move on to the Learning Tree, Chris Jericho being like, I don't think Orange Cassidy realized what he did when he ruined my jacket 4 years ago on Dynamite, which cost me $7,000. I'm like, wow, we're going all the way back there. That's why Brian Keith will squeeze it out of you during the Continental Contenders Challenge on Collision this Friday. Alliteration. And then he says, Orange Cassidy basically goes, hey, if Chris beats me, I'll give him the $7,000 he wants in cash, which is a damn big statement. And he goes up and he tells Brian Keith, and he's not even looking at Jericho, which I thought was amazing. And Jericho's got this stink face on after Orange Cassidy walks away that made me laugh. They went way back bringing that up too. Like, just that was pandemic era wrestling.
Absolutely. Long-term storytelling. And it's like, no, with it being the five-year anniversary of all these shows, I think it does make, you know, sense to bring up stuff that happened over the 5 years. I wish they were making a bigger deal that this was the 5 year anniversary of All Out, but that's just who I am. You know, that's who I am. I'm a sentimental person. I'm a sentimental wrestling fan. I want big deals made of, time marks or whatever. So, the online reaction by Orange Cassidy fans to him being in a tie to Chris Jericho fan
again, it's if you're a fan of any wrestler in AEW and you're tied to Chris Jericho, the reaction is not good.
I laughed so hard. People got so mad. And because it doesn't even look like this is going to be a long-term storyline. This looks like it's going to be maybe a show or two storyline. And it's just like, dude, people don't want their favorites to have anything to do with Chris Jericho. But the thing is, and I know Orange Cassidy is not struggling for this, when your favorites are in a tie with Chris Jericho, Chris Jericho, because of who he is going to make sure it has time. So your person's going to be on the screen more. So you're pretty much saying you not wanting to be in a line with Chris Jericho is like, well, I don't want my guy to be used.
That's the thing is, like, I understand if you wish they weren't in this feud and all that kind of stuff. I get that opinion. But to say, like, as soon as Jericho appears on screen, it's just like, oh, God, why is my favorite guy being here? I'm just like, he's getting work, you know? He's getting TV time. Like, yeah. That's all. If TV time with the Learning Tree is a thing, you inadvertently get TV time by feuding with Chris Jericho. Because if he wants TV time, then you get TV time.
Yeah, the dude has stroke, you know? He can make it happen. So, I don't know. I don't know if I would be, like, less vehemently against it. Someone just brought Ricochet said he would like to wrestle Chris Jericho one day. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, if we get Ricochet versus Chris Jericho, I'm going to quit watching wrestling.
It's one of my favorite jokes currently in pro wrestling. If Jericho is approaching any of your favorite wrestlers, dear God, you better run for the hills. It's a great joke.
But it's like Ricochet is like, he, you know, so you'd rather him not be on the card than wrestle Chris Jericho. Because
crazy. But again, at the same time, though, when Jericho goes, hi, guys, everyone says hi back.
Dude, Jericho is a wrestling genius. He is untouchable. It is a very small, loud percentage of people complaining about him. But it's just hilarious to me how this dude, Judas in my mind, one of the most beloved people in AEW history, has become like this pariah over for a few months. And I honestly feel like it's for no reason.
And again, also talking about how, you know, Jericho's going to ruin everybody. Big Bill has got some of the most overreactions I've seen in a very long time. And who is he right next to?
Yes.
Jericho.
Big Bill and Brian Keith are on TV every week. Before they were in the Learning Tree, they were not on TV every week. So I don't see the complaint here. This dude's trying to get other people over. He literally lost the match to Hook. I don't know what else Chris Jericho can do.
Yeah. Either way, we'll move on now to the Women's World Championship being defended against the Native Beast, Nyla Rose, one of the first AEW Women's World Champions, being defended by the Glamour, Mariah May. If you wish to ask me what I thought about the Glamour showing up with the AEW Women's World Championship last week, that is not family appropriate. I cannot explain to you how I felt, so I'm not going to. Just know, it's a cool moment. I liked it very, very much. But the Glamour has a pretty solid match, I will say, against Nyla. I love the fact that Nyla's on TV, even if it's for 1 week, because Nyla is amazing. She is a Twitter goddess.
And she's everybody's like first title defense or whatever.
It seems like it's almost like a kind of rite of passage for sure.
Yes.
They did some really strong stuff, and the Glamour is able to hit the Storm Zero to pin Nyla Rose, and she retains her title. That being said, though, we got some really good matches announced for All In. Where's my Women's World Championship match for All Out? I need to see Mariah May in person, goddammit. You better give me on Collision. By the time this show airs, and by the time Collision and Rampage wraps up, and we're in the countdown to All Out, I better have a goddamn Women's World Championship match, or a 10-minute segment where the Glamour Mariah May just graces us with her presence. You better give that shit to me at All Out. I haven't been to a goddamn AEW show in over a year. And I'm going to get to be there when Mariah May is the Women's World Champion and she's not going to be on the show? You fix that now.
Man, see, me and Mariah have spent a lot of time together this year.
I don't want to hear it.
It's been great, you know?
I don't want to hear it.
Oh, God, I wish you were there.
She's amazing on the wrestling podcast, too. She's getting podcasters to flush and blush all over the goddamn place.
Dude, She looks like one of one.
One of one is damn for sure. Get that girl a match. I need to see her wrestle in person because I don't even know if I've seen her wrestle in person, if I'm being frank. Because when she debuted, I don't think I've been to an AEW show since then, if I'm not being mistaken. My last show was All Out last year, I'm pretty sure.
Wow, dude. Do you even like wrestling anymore?
I'm an angry man who just only likes one wrestler. Apparently.
Yes, I hope they get something on.
I need a Women's World Champion.
Our preview is going to be as good as we can with all the information we have as of now, but I feel like a lot's going to be added on Collision and Rampage.
Oh, for sure, we're going to have a zero-hour match for sure announced as well.
Yeah.
Regardless. She's glamorous, absolutely. Please acknowledge her. We then had the CEO, Mercedes Moné, and Camille come out, and she's feeling some type of way, and she proceeds to call out Hikaru Shida because she's been making some noise, too. She's like, how can you call yourself the ace, Shida, when you don't have the belt that's around my waist? Because I'm the face of this whole damn company. Shida, you're going to learn just like the rest of the division. There's a price to pay when you mess with Mercedes Moné. Shida appears on the ramp, on the big screen, and she proceeds to say, you are one contender away from looking at the new TBS champion until that watchdog of yours got involved, but you can't beat the ace. But good news, CD comes out and says, Camille, hell of a competitor you are, but you're more of a nuisance when you're at ringside, so you are banned from ringside. And Shida goes, well, Mercedes, I know you know a little bit of Japanese, so you should understand this. Sayonara, bitch. First of all, shout out to how dope Sheeta's new shirt is, and her being the ace and calling herself the ace. That shirt's amazing, and the way she debuted it was awesome. Second of all, she was dressed up as Majima from the Yakuza games. Shout out to that. Not it's like the second time we've gotten Yakuza related stuff. Back when they had the whole episode that was dedicated to Yakuza references, like earlier this year. So that was fucking sick. And Sheeta's amazing. She is so consistently awesome, and I'm so excited to see her and Monet go at it, because this is basically, for everyone who complained about the Britt Baker match, which I know wasn't good, but again, people went way overboard with that type of stuff. You're going to get a damn good match now 2 weeks after that between Mercedes Moné against another incredible wrestler in Hikaru Shida. That's going to make everybody completely forget about that match that we'll just move on from. Shida and Mercedes are going to tear the house down. I'm so hyped that I get to see it.
Dude, it's going to be awesome. I love Shida. I love this new aggressive, badass, more serious Shida. It's going to build for a great match with Mercedes. And yeah, I think she's been really cool. And I like that. And getting rid of Camille, it's going to let it be just a one-on-one match. Going to give a Continental Classic type of feel. And yeah, we're going to get a clear winner. And that's good.
That is very good. We then. We move on to a backstage segment that really was shit and just didn't matter because, again, it's Jack Perry talking. Who pays attention to anything about that? But it does mean I have to mention about what happened last week, where Bryan Danielson closed out last week's Dynamite, talking about basically anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere he calls out to. And literally, I'm not even kidding, Floyd. Like, I referenced it slightly when I DM'd you, but when I saw the TNT Championship appear on the big screen as Danielson's in the ring, I just went fuck off and I walked upstairs and I was just like, this, no. Because Jack Perry joins in and is going to challenge Bryan Danielson at All Out, as his first title defense will be against Mr. Jack Perry. This week on Dynamite, he says how 3 years ago, Chicago, All Out 2021, my favorite show, he said, I was in the ring for the very first time that Bryan Danielson stepped foot in AEW. Yes, you were. You know who else was in that match? Killswitch and Christian, two guys I really would have wished would have challenged instead of you. That's besides the point. He said he promised himself that it would be his turn to stand in the ring with the American Dragon, but I was sitting at home earlier this year. I didn't think I'd get the chance, but I didn't give up. I did everything I had to do to get myself back here. I worked hard. I did this. I sold t-shirts. When he said I sold t-shirts, I was just like, this dude's a fucking joke. I sold t-shirts. Take me seriously, guys. And then he goes, you could have helped me get to this point, Brian, but you didn't. You only cared about your fairy tale ending. 3 years ago, 3 years where it all after it all began, this Saturday, you won't have a happy ending. Once again, they had to even use Moxley to try to get this man to be taken seriously. Please, Moxley said he's cool. Please, guys, take him seriously. He can't do it on his own. Please buy what this man is selling. He's like this awful, coded salesman in a back alley. Buy what he is selling, please. I promise you're not buying a false bag of goods. To which Matt Jackson then proceeds to say, we have a message to Brian and his BCC friends. We're willing to do anything it takes to get the AEW championship back where it belongs with the elite. Like I said, your rural...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for Black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Power barely means anything. Why should I believe a goddamn thing you say about your kind of power when you instantaneously get overruled by CD and Tony Khan on a momentary notice? It's happened multiple times. Floyd, you can go ahead and talk about this main event before I give my thoughts, basically.
Dude, just about the match was great. You said you're talking about the promo.
No.
You said main event. I was like, huh?
I mean, but yeah. The technical like main event because know what the true main event's going to be for All Out though. But this match specifically, when it got announced.
Dude, it'll be a great match. It's just unfortunately that I don't think the result is in any question whatsoever.
Exactly.
But it'll be a great match. They, you know, the Bucks saying they'll do anything to bring it home adds a little. You know, a little step to it, but for the most part...
It doesn't.
Yeah, for the most part, it's just, hey, yeah, Jack Perry gets a title match. And I like that, because, you know, this is the type of person you want to get, you know, the first title match, kind of get it out the way. I mean, we know in the world, you know, Jack Perry will be the AEW champion at one time, so, you know.
You really had to say that, didn't you?
I mean, I had to say it because it's a fact. I mean.
See, like I said,
they ain't gonna ever let him go. They're never letting him go.
Oh, trust me, I know, because I'm getting a Roman Reigns-esque push with this man, and I want it to fucking go away.
Man
has barely done anything with his own belt that he spent hours crafting physically by himself, but gives two shits about it, which is why he's challenging for the world championship when you haven't even gotten your own title over.
Dude, and then they broke it back. It's like, oh, 2021, Bryan Danielson debuted saving Jungle Boy, and now he's wrestling Jack Perry. And you know me, I like callbacks. So they got me. I'm like, yeah, they're going to beat each other up. And, you know, the great thing is, the only thing I've always said about Jack Perry is I can't buy him beating people because they're so much bigger than he is. Bryan Danielson is not much bigger than he is, so there you go. It's actually
But the levels to this terms of wrestling is so dramatically high.
Well, Bryan Danielson told you at the end of the show, what's going to happen to him, and that should give you pressure because he's going to get his head fucking kicked in.
It should. I would love if my first AEW show in almost a year didn't have to feature that. But, you know, I never get everything that I ask for. I have other things to look forward to. Literally, I texted you, too, because I was like, I don't think my sister wants to go to this show with me anymore because she thinks I'm going to wreck the whole thing, which I'm not, because I'm not that kind of fan, truly. Because if people think I'm going to go there just to be an asshole and, like, shout shit during the whole match.
But you know what the great thing about it is? He's the bad guy. You're supposed to boo him and shout
and
shit
at
him.
I said that, too. She thought I was going to take it to a whole nother level.
No.
But at the same time, though, literally the weekend, the last show I attended was the weekend that my favorite wrestler got fired from the company. And the entire crowd was doing a whole bunch of shit during the Young Bucks FTR match. And I stayed fucking silent. Because I didn't want to add to any of it, and also it just made me sad. So I'm not going to be like that kind of guy. That being said, I'm booing the fuck out of this kid, and it's going to be the loudest reaction he gets from the crowd because I'm the only guy that's going to give him even a remote amount of time because no one cares about this match.
I think you're jealous of Jack Perry because he can grow an amazing beard.
That's your word for amazing?
That beard.
You could have said I was jealous because he's dating Anna Jay, and you could have been. I could see a little bit of bias. I could see a little bit of understanding there, but it has nothing to do with the beard.
It's a magnificent beard. I understand that is what you know. Hey, what. Look,
maybe it's a long enough beard that he could get taco meat stuck in it.
Maybe we could get you a trip to Istanbul, you know, get you a beard planted in there. So, you know, let's go. But no, it should be a fine match. It should be a great match. I've always said this about Jack Perry. Am I the biggest Jack Perry fan in the world? No. But the one place I do not question that man's ability, I do not question his talent, is in that ring. He is going to put on an entertaining match. I know you won't want to cheer him, but at the end of the match, you're going to be like sitting on your hands to keep yourself from clapping because you know.
You mistake me, good sir.
Because you know Jack Perry is about to put on a banger, son. He's about to put on a banger.
Because
he does bangers after banger after banger. Well, yeah, he's wrestling probably one of the best wrestlers of our generation.
The carry job will continue to be incredible, just like Kazuchika Okada has carried this man.
I have never seen Jack Perry get carried in a match. Ever. That man is talented. Now, is he an asshole? Is he whiny? Is he still getting over using somebody that doesn't work anymore? I'll give you all of that, but that man is talented in the ring.
Moving on, Dynamite main event is the trios match between the trios champions, the Bastard Pack, Claudio Castagnoli and Wheeler Yuta, versus the international champion Will Ospreay and the conglomerations Kyle O'Reilly and freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, who again had another amazing promo. And if you don't turn on your volume as loud as it possibly can when Mr. Mark Briscoe says anything on a microphone, if you don't turn the volume up on your TV as loud as it possibly can go when he talks, you're doing it wrong. Yeah. That's just all I have to say in that regard. This match was a lot of fun. Like, these guys are flying all over the place. The tease of Will Ospreay and Pack in the ring too, as they got to do some really dope stuff before eventually they got brought to the side. Dude, that match is going to be fucking insane. I'm so fucking excited for that match. Doing some really good stuff. Claudio and Orange Cassidy especially had some really great stuff in there too. We got Kyle O'Reilly coming out, and he's doing the air guitar again, like he used to do in NXT. And I love getting air guitar Kyle O'Reilly, cause it's one of my favorite gifts in all of wrestling. And dude, it was so good. And eventually, as the match goes, Claudio is spinning Kyle O'Reilly, and he gets drop kicked by Yuta, and then that's when he gets the pinfall and gets the victory over the BCC and Pack. That's when Bryan Danielson comes down to celebrate, but then he gets jumped by Jack Perry. The Young Bucks then go after Yuta and Claudio, and then Jack Perry tries to grab a chair, but then Claudio pulls him to the ground. Danielson proceeds to grab him by the wrist, and before he can kick his head in, the Bucks pull him out of the ring. Claudio just basically said, "You then made the biggest mistake of your life, and we've been in the mood of collecting gold," and they challenged the Young Bucks for the tag team titles at All Out. And then Danielson goes, "As for you, Jack, there's a lot of people, including myself, who are sick and tired of all of your crap, and I can guarantee you one thing. This Sunday, Saturday, Danielson," and people were trying to correct him because he said Sunday, it's Saturday, "at All Out, Jack Perry, you're going to get your fucking head kicked in." And then Pac and Ospreay were still fighting backstage, and Pac literally hit brainbusters Ospreay onto cargo boxes, and amazing stuff there. So got another great match that's going to happen. Claudio and Yuta going after the Young Bucks for the tag titles. It'll be a fun match. Again, another match where the result is in no doubt, but should be fun. And yeah, this is a really good main event.
Yeah, really good main event. Really a great way to basically end the wrestling part of the show. Claudio's exceptional. He has this way of delivering things that, you know, literally thought, like, man, they could win these titles, even though I know they can't win these titles. And of course, there was a little selfish bit inside of me that was glad that it wasn't FTR or the Acclaimed.
Yeah,
or
you were just saying you were going to die a little bit if that was the case.
Dude.
Well, first of all, I don't need to see the Young Bucks and FTR for quite some time.
They're going to announce FTR versus GYV, right? And that's going to break my heart. But it's okay. It's okay. Like, I've said it many times. The impossible standard of going to every show. I can't do it. But, my people will be there. So that'll be great. But I was very excited that they announced this match because, again, Will Uta, another person, Claudio, Nick Jackson, Matt Jackson, however you feel about them outside of the ring, however, whatever you think they are as people, whether you like their shirts or you won't want to buy their shirts, whatever you want, when those four men step inside the squared circle, they are fucking amazing. So this match is going to be amazing because everybody involved in the match is amazing.
Only thing else I'll add to this too is Blackpool Combat Club versus the Elite. It's the song that never ends. It just goes
And you're saying like you don't need to see FTR and the Young Bucks, but dude,
I'm not saying that though. But I'm just saying it's very funny how it seems like the BCC and the Elite are forever. Like the BCC basically is Brian Danielson, who is only in it by name, in my opinion. He barely was in the BCC for quite some time. And John Moxley's off doing his own goddamn thing. So the BCC has lost significant amount of members, but it doesn't matter because the Elite and the BCC will be forever linked, even if the group disbands. They are constantly linked.
Brian Danielson said he was saying on commentary, and he said Pac fits perfectly in the BCC. So I don't know if he's
Have they actively added him now?
They have not made the announcement, but I feel like that was just as good as anything.
I mean, it makes sense.
And Blackpool Combat Club is the group that would add a member and never announce that they added a member.
That's pretty damn on par with them.
That's pretty damn on par with them. It's like, oh yeah, he's with us now.
Yes.
And then we're like,
yeah. But we got to move on to the thing that everyone's been talking about. There was a contract signing for Swerve Strickland versus Hangman Page's steel cage match, which is taking place at All Out.
We got to say what happened earlier in the day.
Yes, I was going to say, before all of that, video gets posted onto social media, and it was also ran during the show, too, of Swerve Strickland announcing basically, you know, his childhood was rough, and he had a hard upbringing, but now he's a former world champion. He recently got extended, and with that money that he now has, he bought his childhood home. Celebrated with Prince Nana in front of the house, had the deed with him, and it was a nice little friendly moment. In my head, I was like, this is showing up at an interesting time. This is a nice a video that showed up at an interesting time. Swerve then is in the ring waiting for Hangman to come out for the contract signing. They play his music twice, and he does not come out. But then you see on the giant screen, and you see a door get knocked and opened, and Hangman appears going, whose house? Hangman proceeds to go on a long diatribe, just talking and talking and talking. Mentions about how last week on the show, Swerve insinuated that he was in a car outside of Hangman's house again, watching as Hangman helped his pregnant wife to the car, to the hospital, where he would become a daddy for the second time. So Swerve last week basically outed that Hangman had a second kid. He didn't say that, I'm pretty sure. At any point he announced that he had said that. Swerve outed that he had a second kid. And said, basically, I stalked you and your family while you were leaving to go to the hospital to have your second kid. And Hangman's going on about that and all these awful things. And Hangman proceeds to walk around his brandly new bought childhood home. And you can hear stuff being thrown around. And you then catch glimpses of a red can of gasoline. Hangman is dumping gasoline around the house. Gets in front of a rocking chair like he's back in his old days in front of Cracker Barrel. He sits in the rocking chair and he says how he's going to take everything away from Swerve. And he says, you're going to get a little taste of that tonight as we say goodbye to whose house? Swerve's house. He catches a lighter, throws it on the ground. Fire then proceeds to go from near his chair all the way up to the house, and Swerve's childhood home set ablaze while Swerve is beside himself. The most hurt and just absolutely distraught we have ever seen Swerve. We've never seen him like this. While Hangman is just sipping some alcohol in front of the burning house. And that's the closing moment of the Go Home Dynamite for All Out. And then it was later announced that this match has gotten so heated and this rivalry has gotten so big. Not only is this a steel cage match, it's a lights out steel cage match. So wins and losses not counted in this regard. It will be going on last, basically, and it's not officially recognized by AEW. So there's going to be a traditional main event for All Out and then the actual main event, which is not recognized. So it's a lights out steel cage match, unsanctioned match in a steel cage between Swerve and Hangman. This is the seller of the show right here. These guys are single-handedly selling All Out to you right now. Like, obviously, there's a lot of great stuff on this card. The great matches on the card. But for people who haven't been interested in buying the show since it is 2 weeks after All In, I understand that. If you had a reason to watch the show, it's this. Because this is, without a doubt, Hangman versus Swerve. I say this without hyperbole. This is the best feud AEW has had since MJF versus CM Punk. The best feud they've had since that moment. These guys are at each other's throats. It is so vicious. It's back to the moments where, like, we watch how dangerous wrestling feuds get and wonder how the hell the cops didn't get involved at some point. Because this man should be wanted for arson. Where the hell were the cops? This was absolutely spectacular. Was it ridiculous? 1,000%. But man, the image that it created. And man, the moment this feud has been creating and how incredible this feud has been. It's spectacular. And this is my most anticipated match for All Out, as it is for many people. These guys have done such a great job. This is Hangman's best work. This is Swerve's best work. And it's going to be spectacular when they get locked into a cage and just all hell will break loose inside of that cage. And I'm so happy I get to be in attendance for this. AEW's had some incredible cage matches. Kenny Omega versus Jon Moxley was one of them that I was also lucky enough to be in attendance for. So happy I get to see this one live because they're going to kill each other.
Dude, I hope they have extra bags and pints of blood for the transfusion that these two men are going to need after this match.
Yep.
But very rarely in wrestling, like, you know, people go through down periods, up periods, all that stuff. But very rarely you can be like, there's the moment it changed everything. Like WWE, the moment that changed the Attitude Era was when, you know, Eric Bischoff said Mick Foley was going to win the title and everybody turned the channel on there, you know. You very rare times in wrestling you can point to it. If there is a new hot period in AEW, you can point to this moment, this segment, this 15 minutes, this feud is the reason AEW gets hot again. Because this is pro wrestling. People your age, maybe a little older, but definitely younger, this is pro wrestling. This is what they grew up on. This is WWE's over-the-top storytelling, burning down a fucking house. This is pro wrestling. Like, a lot of times when we talk about changing the world, everything, you know, you have all these rapid changes you want to make to wrestling, but to the casual fan or whatever, and I hate using that term, but there's no other term, but to the casual fan, you kind of got to meet them in the middle because they're not used to the pure pro wrestling storytelling. I mean, pure pro wrestling. But this, oh, burning someone else's house down that broke into your house, they understand this. This is simple. Revenge is as simple as anything. Obsession is as simple as anything. The simple storylines, they are universal. Like, you can show somebody that and they not speak English and they will understand this man burned that person's head a house down. Now they got to fight. So I just think this is, if there is a chance of AEW and everything getting back to normal, getting back to their ticket sales that they were once at, this is the storyline that's going to do it. This is probably my most anticipated match of the year. And yes, I've watched a lot of FTR matches, but this is my most anticipated match of the year. I truly think they are going to go out on a limb to make a match that not only is considered the match of the year, but maybe the best match AEW's ever had. And I think these two guys have it in them to do it.
So unbelievably excited for this, dude. It's going to be incredible. And again, like this is their best work, I feel like, of these two men's career, especially Hangman. I think Hangman's doing a out of his mind work with this feud.
You need a hot feud. Better call Hanger. Cause
genuinely, this version of Hangman,
and Kenny Omega, him and John Moxley, him and Swerve. You're talking about the five greatest like rivalries or storylines in AEW history. Hangman's in at least two of the five. The Moxley one, I think you can say is three of the five, but he's right there. He is a big time storyteller. He is, you know, like he can be considered, he is the linchpin. He is what makes AEW go for years. He's just as important as John Moxley as far as my MVPs of the network time. So I am really happy this is happening. I'm really happy Swerve is featured because, you know, you lose the title and then in the next show he is in effectively the main event. And I'm pretty sure since they're doing Lights Out, he's going to go on last. So I'm really happy.
He will. Yeah, that's the thing. It basically all but confirms that it will be on last.
Yes.
And it's going to be so unbelievable.
It's genius because everybody's going to be exhausted after this match.
Yes.
Trying to follow this match.
Exactly.
I don't care if it's Will Ospreay and Bryan Danielson. You won't be able to follow this match. People are going to be cheering and yelling, and there's going to be so much blood. There's going to be so much everything that there is no way you're going to be able to follow it. So if you have a match like this that you can't follow, put it on last.
There you go. That is our AEW Dynamite review. We're going to real quickly go over what we have for the Collision Rampage Collide, and then we'll have our preview and predictions for the matches that have been announced, because I'm sure there's going to be more announced, but for what we have, at least right now in front of us, this is what we have going towards All Out this Saturday. First up, in terms of what is taking place on Collision, of course, we're going to have the matches for the Continental Contenders Challenge, so these are to determine the three other people who are going to be facing Kazuchika Okada in the four-way at All Out for the Continental Championship. You have Konosuke Takeshita versus the Beast Mortos. You have Orange Cassidy versus Brian Keith. And you have Mark Briscoe versus Lance Archer.
I would just like to point out, since a few weeks ago and I started my Lance Archer Should Be Used campaign, I just like to note that he's been on TV every day, every week.
He's
been on TV. I'm not saying I'm the cause or we're the cause of it, because honestly, I don't think anybody there listens to the show. But the coincidence is kind of crazy. I just thought that was...
Just a little bit.
Yeah, his coincidence is kind of crazy. Takeshita versus the Beast Mortos, that is going to be a fucking fun match. Beast Mortos hasn't put on a bad match since he's come to AEW. You know, since he had to change his name and come back, he's been putting on the bangers. And Takeshita doesn't know how to have a bad match.
He does.
So that's going to be amazing. That's probably my most anticipated of the three. But again, this is where you get into some, you know, wrestling and storytelling. You got Lance Archer and Mark Briscoe. Lance Archer needs to beat Mark Briscoe. Then now you have a next title contender for the ROH title. Boom.
It's really all you need.
Yeah, it's wrestling. It's pretty simple sometimes. Not all the time. Again,
not all the time, but a good amount of time.
A good time. It's kind of simple.
Hikaru Shida will be facing Deonna Purrazzo, who did get a little bit of a video package actually on Dynamite. I'm all for Deonna Purrazzo continuing to just grow, because I still think she's very, very good. She'll face off against Shida, which should be a fun match. Shida getting a win before her TBS championship match. And then, like I said, the Elite versus the BCC, the star that never ends. It's an all-star eight-man tag match of champions. Bryan Danielson, Pac, Wheeler Yuta, Claudio Castagnoli, basically the new look of the BCC versus the new look of the Elite. Young Bucks, Jack Perry, Kazuchika Okada. That'll be on Collision, probably where the babyfaces get their win, because, you know, other than Danielson, the tag team, like Yuta and Claudio, aren't winning, and Jack, God for sure, is not winning this Sunday. I mean, Saturday. That is Collision. I know there's a Rampage that's also immediately afterwards, but I didn't see any matches that were.
They did not announce matches from what I saw.
That's exactly it. So we'll go ahead now and we'll go into what we have for AEW All Out. First off, Floyd, you can tell me right now if you agree with this opinion. This is me personally. This is me personally, obviously. And this also involves your favorite who opened up his show with Cody and Kevin Owens opening Bash at Berlin. They opened the show with the WWE World Championship. I think Bryan Danielson and Jack Perry should open the show. Get it out of the way. Get it out of the way.
I truly believe that too. But, you know, honestly, no. I would open with Ospreay and Pac.
Ooh, that's tough. That would be an insane opener. I get that. Because that's the thing. Because technically, whatever is the listed main event isn't really the main event. Me personally, I think it would be cool if Mercedes and Sheeta had that spot. Give it to the women, especially if you're not going to have a women's world championship match. God damn it! If that doesn't happen, I'm going to be furious.
I mean, they already have two women's matches on the card.
I'm aware.
We're at our limit.
I don't care if I get 10 minutes of just Mariah May basking in her glory as the world champion. Put her on the show. 0 hour. I don't give a fuck. But I don't know. I think it'd be cool if the women were the technical main event and then you get the steel cage lights out match and then just put Danielson and Jack in the front. I can get the fuck. I can take basically my medicine. I can get it out of the way and I can enjoy the rest of the show. That's my personal opinion. And also it just kind of makes sense because Jack Perry and Danielson going on before Hangman and Swerve, everyone is just going to be like, hurry the fuck up and get to the match that we all came here to see, which they might be a little bit with some other match that goes before it, but they would especially be like that with Danielson and Jack. So open up with Danielson and Jack is my opinion. Jack will not win this match. It will be Danielson. If Jack does win this match, I'm not watching this show anymore. That's how confident I am he's not winning.
Yeah, I mean, I see where you're coming from, you know. But, you know, knowing TK, he loves his world title to go on, quote unquote,
I'm aware. I'm aware. So, and again, I that's normally how I am as well. This is a very special occasion, though.
Yes. No, again, I would go Ospreay and Pac. First of all, just because you get that entrance as soon as Ospreay. And then, you know, you got to, you know, this match is. But again, I can say this, just like I said, I feel sorry for whoever has to follow this match.
So. 1,000%. Yeah, no. But then just since you did bring it up, though, because, I mean, you're right there with me. Danielson beats Jack. Ospreay versus Pac, though, how fun that match is going to be and Will getting the big win. I still remember when Pac was like on his tear in UK and he came over for the first All Out and he fought Kenny Omega and how fucking bananas that was, how that match worked out. Because of the whole thing with him and Hangman and how there was just that Pac's first match in AEW just was a weird come about how that happened. And it's just crazy how we're like multiple years removed from that and how everything's changed, you know, but yes.
I'm 95% sure I'm wrong, but I'm calling it right now. If I got the dollar, I'm putting the dollar on the underdog. Pac upsets Will Ospreay.
Any other things that take place that causes Will to lose?
He got the brain buster on the thing last night, so he has the neck injury. So I think they're going to build on, you know, Pac just going after his neck. He's going to get that brutalizer in. Will's going to pass out. Boom, your new international champion, Pac.
love the upset pick. I will go Will Ospreay.
Okay.
MJF versus Daniel Garcia. Again, this feud would be considered one of the hot blood feuds of this show if it wasn't for the steel cage match and it being what it is. Super happy Daniel Garcia is in this big kind of match against a guy like MJF. MJF, I do think, will beat down Daniel Garcia just to be able to make him, because I don't think this is going to be over for a long shot. So I'm going to go MJF.
I'm going to go the match ends in a no contest. And after the no contest, I'm going to go Daniel Garcia pile drives MJF off the second rope. So I don't think there's going to be a winner. And I think Daniel Garcia is going to get the pile driver to build to something more serious later. I think their big match, because they're both New York boys, is going to happen at Grand Slam.
All right, sounds
like
good.
It's like some kind of stipulation. Maybe it's a dog collar match. Maybe it's whatever. But I think it's going to happen at Grand Slam.
Okay, I think that's a very interesting pick by you, and I will be interested to see if that's what they go with.
I mean, that's what I would go with. Because
sure, I mean, it builds up for the big match for them for Grand Slam too, which will need a big match for sure.
Because it's a blood feud, right? It's baby Swerve and Hangman. It's not at the level of Swerve and Hangman. So I almost think a winner, having one of them beat each other, would actually take away from the rivalry to me.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. It will, regardless of the fact, though, it will be a lot of fun, though. Also, let's not be frank. Daniel Garcia recently said today with Sean Ross Sapp, basically, Mina Shirakawa can now have his dance, since there's that gif of Mina Shirakawa doing the Daniel Garcia hip thrust dance. And she's like, he's like, she can have it. It's her dance now, basically, which I thought was very cool.
Well, anything Mina does becomes hers after she does it. So
1,000% yes.
Yes.
Willow Nightingale versus Chris Statlander in a Chicago street fight. Friends turned enemies. Good amount of these matches. Like, you've got like three matches on this card that are like blood feud related matches. This will be a really fun match. I think this is where Willow finally gets the win over Chris, and Willow gets the win in the street fight.
I think the exact opposite.
Willow won. They beat them. Yeah. So actually, yeah, flip them around. I forgot that all in 0 hour, they beat Ishii and beat up Stokely. Yeah. So, you know what? Yeah. Chris, I just realized that. So now I got to,
so this
in my
is
head.
A,
Chris Statlander.
So this is a little insider baseball for y'all. This was originally going to be for the AAA title. They then announced Willow versus Zeus's, and I believe it's next Friday the 13th in Mexico, right? So I think Chris Statlander was originally going to beat Willow for the title, but I think they want Willow to lose to their person or whatever. So this is no longer for the title. It's just a street fight. So I think Chris Statlander beats Willow, and then Willow, you know, does the job next week in Mexico.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because remember, right, it was originally because she beat her in the Eliminator match to get a title shot. That was the whole purpose, was for her to get a title shot. Then they had to match it all in. That was supposed to name the stipulation of the title shot. But they said AAA won't sanction the match because it's a street fight. So they took the title out of it.
All right.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that puts it even more into perspective too.
Yes, it's Saturday night, and the match is happening on a Saturday night, because every night is a Saturday night.
Yes. Rest in peace to Elton John no longer being the theme of Collision.
Yes.
AEW World Tag Team Championship match between the Young Bucks and Blackpool Combat Club. I can't even escape these chuckle fucks on this show. My first show back, and I got to see all fucking three of them. Regardless, I'm very excited for this match. I think they're going to do a really good job. Seeing Yuta and Claudio, if they don't do the fusion ha pose for their entrance, I'm going to be very upset, because it's one of my favorite things that they do. But Young Bucks will win this match, as much as I hate it.
Yes.
But, you know, it'll be fun. Maybe we can get Aussie Open coming out and beating the fucking shit out of them personally. That's something I would... Grizzled Young Vets, not Aussie Open. Grizzled Young Vets. Grizzled Young Vets comes out, beats the shit out of them. Or maybe I can still dream and I get Motor City Machine Guns, even though that's a fucking shot in hell. Like, that's not happening anymore. I don't get what I want. Grizzled Young Vets comes out. Beat the shit out of the Young Bucks. Give me something. All right. Like, please.
So the Young Bucks are such a, like, they're so going to win this match. I forgot to say something in the Bryan Danielson and Zach Perry match. I think there's going to be a shit ton of interference, and I think it's going to lead to this big moment where Kenny Omega comes back at All Out. I don't know if he's going to come back.
That would be truly amazing. Yeah. I would love nothing more than that.
I don't know if he's going to be like, oh, I'm wrestling, but I think he's going to make the appearance to help save with Bryan Danielson. Maybe I'm wrong. I just feel like it's going to happen there.
Yeah, that would be cool, but that also gives the implication that Jack Perry would be in a position of power in this match and have an even shot in hell at winning it. I want it to be a two-hour fit of him just getting his head beaten into the ground. Just don't do any other moves. Spam finishers, like turn 99 infinite finishers on and just use them on him repeatedly.
Okay.
Perfectly what I want. That's my match of the year. I'll give that 20 stars.
20 stars.
So, go ahead.
So to do the Continental Classic four-way, we have to pretty much guess who's going to win those matches. My three, I think, are going to be Takeshita. I think it's going to be Lance Archer.
Oh.
And I think it's going to be OC.
Okay. Mine was actually going to be Takeshita, Brian Keith, and Mark Briscoe.
Yes.
That was my prediction, actually.
And I got Takeshita pinning OC to be your new Continental Champion.
All right. That's interesting. I have Takeshita pinning Brian Keith.
To be your new Continental Champion. But we both got Takeshita winning the Continental title.
Yes.
Yes.
Give it to me now.
Yes. Because I then think Okada then goes after Bryan Danielson.
There you go. Mercedes Moné versus Hikaru Shida for the TBS Championship should be a very fun match. Mercedes Moné will do very well in winning this match. And then, yeah, it's Moné time.
Yeah. And I think at that point, yeah, I don't know. I hope something happens there. But
I did too. Yeah. Give Mercedes some more direction with who's her next challenger.
But good old Shida, she's the ace. And it's going to be a great match.
She is the ace.
She's the ace. All right.
Finally, Hangman, Swerve, Lights Out, Steel Cage. It's got to be Hangman, right?
It's got to be Hangman. Gotta be. Hangman's going to beat Swerve in the match that doesn't count.
Yep. And again, this man has... He has suffered. He has suffered, and that has led to the man that you see today. As much as I'm a Swerve man and I love Swerve Strickland and everything like that, Hangman's doing some great work. Yeah. Let's throw this man a bone. He wins this match, and it's gonna be a gruesome end to this show too. Let's be frank. People may be going home with a pit in their stomach with how sick they feel to their stomach with this match, because Hangman's gonna get his pound of flesh.
Hangman will win, and it'll be a great match. Of course, I truly think it's going to be a match of the year contender, but yeah, it's like, it's not a rivalry if one guy never wins. So Hangman needs to win.
Yeah. I mean, it just, he very much needs to, win this. He's been needing this for quite some time. And like I said, he suffered. This man deserves this point at this point with how great his stuff has been. And Swerve will be fine. That is what we have for All Out as it stands right now before Collision and Rampage finishes up tonight on Friday. We'll go over real quickly. We've got a couple points to hit on the media call for All Out that Tony Khan had just recently today, so we can hit those points. I have John Alba, who was a SNY TV reporter who was on the call. If you want me to go through the points that he
made. Yeah, go ahead and do his. I was going to grab one of the other people's, so that works.
I was going to say, this is the one that I found. So,
okay, it works for me.
TK, basically, the first thing he talked about was he had the domestic distribution of Grand Slam Australia, which is still to be determined, a thing that's supposed to, that's happening, but they're still waiting on the domestic distribution. mentioned about Sting's return and how he's still a great part of AEW, calls him a great friend. The company will have him whenever they can. They considered a AEW Women's Gauntlet match. I believe this was in regards to All In, I think. They considered it. Or maybe it was considered for All Out at some point. He said there were, this is the big thing, of course, there was a lot of reports on the status of the AEW Warner Brothers Discovery Media deal. They're still working on it. He says a lot of the reports have been, quote, pretty accurate, saying basically they're the best partner you can have in wrestling due to the tradition it carries. They're working through some of the details of the media rights agreement. Hard to say. John said basically it's hard to say if he's tell if he's insinuating that they have an agreement in place or if they're just speaking generally about an eventual one. That's the big one, of course, because that's still the thing that everyone's waiting on. He said Bryan Danielson winning the world title and celebrating with his family is probably his favorite memory in wrestling. That's what Tony Khan said. He also said TK is now set to become the second most profitable wrestling company of all time with this new media rights deal. Not sure exactly when it will happen, but over the duration of the deal they are about to enter into, he believes it will happen. And again, it's kept getting brought up in the call because, again, this is the thing everyone's still waiting on. It's in the red zone, basically, and they're going to put the ball in the end zone, as they recall. And he also claims, basically, of all the world sports leagues, the entity with fans who spend the most money per month on stream video is AEW. And that's kind of where everything is, unless there's any other points that you want to hit any other things from the call. I think that's pretty much everything.
Yeah, that's why I was like, no, I just wanted to make sure that we went over it, because, you know, people listen to the show, they might not go to, you know, listen to the media calls. And since we're not media, we can report what the media found out. So, and when I listen to those media calls, it's just kind of, most of the time, I was like, I always said I'd probably fall asleep on them. Because, it's just an hour of, you know, stuff. But, no, I'm excited about the media rights deal. As a person, an avid AEW purchaser, one of those people that spend way too much on streaming, I would love for all this stuff to go to Max. God, I would love it. And it would be even more amazing.
Oh, it'd be huge.
It'd be amazing if Grand Slam in Australia was the first Max pay-per-view. But again, that's just me throwing out some shit that there is no basis of what I just said. I want y'all to know that. That's just me like, dude, that would be cool. But yeah, I am looking forward to not paying $50 every time a pay-per-view happens.
That will be so, so great when that doesn't happen. I will be very, very happy when that's not the case anymore. And that is basically all we have for this episode of All Things Elite going into All Out, which should be an amazingly fun time. And again, just can't get over how good this feud is with Swerve and Hangman. It's been truly amazing to see. But yeah, I think that's where we'll close things out, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to this fine show every single week. Again, be on the lookout on the Twitter for the merch that's coming of All Things Elite. It looks great. We think you guys are going to like it. And again, you'll be entered into a contest to win some cool shit. Floyd will be bringing out the details for that for sure as it comes down.
Yeah, because I want the details of when the merch
when
will be available.
Yes.
Yeah, merch will be available. And then I'll kind of decide what I'm going to give. I have so much shit in my room. So I could literally do a giveaway with stuff in my room. But I'm going to do something better than that. I'm going to make it worth your while. But yeah, so we're looking forward to doing that.
Absolutely.
With the merch.
For sure. Guys, continue to download this fine show wherever you listen to us on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Turn automatic downloads on. It means the world to us. Rate, review, subscribe, share us around with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish, and follow us on Twitter, where you'll find out about that brand new merch that's dropping. It's at AT Elite Pod on Twitter. Also follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible. Please check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, Sumowicz. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. I will be making a stop by my grocery store to buy a bag of tomatoes to bring to the Now Arena when Jack Perry appears in front of me. See if my aim is still strong. And then Mr. Floyd can take us home on this episode of All Things Elite.
I need y'all to send positive vibes, prayers, whatever you do when you, or wishes, whatever you do for me, because I am going to the middle of Lincoln, Nebraska, where other than the athletes, I think I'll be the only black guy there. So that should be fun. We're going to see how that works out. My friend Justin is taking me to a game. I'm going to go. It's so funny because I'm going to Nebraska and they're playing Colorado, and I'm going to be rooting for Colorado. I won't actually verbalize it, but in my head, I'm going to be rooting for Colorado. But that's going to be fun. Lincoln Memorial Field has been very much on my bucket list since I was young, because when I was young, Nebraska was a dominant team. So I'm looking forward to watching the game there. I wish safe travels to Austin and all of my friends and family that are going to All Out. I hope y'all have an amazing weekend. I wish y'all were getting a fan fest or something, but just enjoy the show and that'll be great. And to everyone else, make sure you enjoy, check out the pay-per-view, check out Shop AEW. They've hired, or they're working with, a lot of graphic designers from Twitter to try new styles on shirts. And if you notice their new styles on shirts, they don't look like the standard AEW fare. So you might want to go check it out, see if you're interested in. Shout out to Mel Coleman Art. I guess she did the matchup Monday this week, which was the FTR versus Kenny Omega and Hangman at All Out 20, which I was at, and there was a 1 of 10 and a 1 of 50. The 1 of 10 is sold out. They're still left on a 150. If you want to buy that, support them and support Mel, because she is very positive member of the wrestling community. I don't know if she's gotten canceled since, you know, like 12 hours or 2 hours ago, and I'm saying like someone else, please forgive me. I just didn't know, but now I think Mel's awesome. She does a lot of work for AEW, and the posters look amazing. So just make sure you're supporting everything, checking out everybody, communicating, being the positive vibes in the wrestling world that we need. Take care of you, take care of your family, and I will leave you how I always leave you, whether it is home, work, or school. Always do your best to be elite.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.